So let's go ahead and pray, and we will get started. Father, we thank you that we do have your word, Lord. We have you, your Holy Spirit, to speak to us what is written here, Lord. Both the author is also our teacher, and so we thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask you would give us instruction today and the things you want us to know, Lord, these sound fundamental principles, Lord, these sound doctrines that you lay out for us. Father, we know that you want them to be richly implanted in our hearts. And so, Father, we ask you to do that by your Spirit today. Father, give us understanding, Father. These are important things. This is where Christianity really comes alive, in these basic fundamental doctrines in our relationships one with another. So, Father, just really teach us in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, guys, if you remember, when we got to chapter 12, we hit the point where Paul had said to the Roman believers there, "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord." And he went on to say, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might find what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so from that point on, what he's been doing is really showing us God's good and acceptable and perfect will for us. Okay, those things that he would desire we walk in by the power of the Holy Spirit, that which it would be to be a living sacrifice, someone who's living for Christ and living in the righteousness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We could also say it's what it is to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And so that's what he's been going through. And so we've been looking at these very fundamental doctrines. And for the most part, it's been relationship. Okay, it's how we relate to one another. Talked about how we relate to leaders, how we relate to governing authorities, how we're to relate to each other in different situations. And he's brought it down to our relationships with each other as it comes to scruples that somebody might have and abiding with one another in our scruples. We're not talking about sound doctrinal issues. We're talking about sometimes those things that people hold dear to themselves, which are non-essential things. And he's saying, I don't want those things to divide you. And that's what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, is those kinds of things that sometimes people hold dear to. They're not sound doctrinal issues, but they're scruples that people might have that they might hold to so dearly that it could cause a division in the body of Christ. And somebody saying, well, I'm free to do this. And somebody says, well, I don't feel free to do that. And somebody imposes their freedom on somebody, or somebody tries to impose their non-freedom on someone, and it starts to cause divisions. And obviously, he's dealing with this issue because there was some divisions. Okay, probably it was a Jew-Gentile issue, as we know here. And so that's what we've been looking at as we go through this. But let's go ahead and jump into the text, and we'll read it, and we'll come back and take a look at it. I'll read through verse 23. And we'll cover that part. It goes into chapter 15, really to verse 13. I don't know if we'll get that far today or not, but we'll work through this. So Paul's already been dealing with this issue of not letting there be divisions over these non-essential issues. He's already talked about in the beginning of chapter 14, being willing to receive one another, understanding that we're one in Christ, okay? And that nobody's independent of one another, that we all are in Christ Jesus, and therefore we ought to walk together in Christ Jesus. And that's really the essential issue. He reminded the brethren who knows his freedom in Christ, who he would call maybe the more mature one, not the one who's weak. He's reminded them, if you receive a weaker brother into the fellowship, don't do it just to try and convince them that their scruples are wrong. Okay, don't try and convince them that, hey, you don't need this in your life. If it's not an issue where somebody has these scruples and they think those are a method or means of salvation, then he says it's a non-issue. Okay, and so he's been dealing with issues that what like foods, okay, and drink, ceremonial things that of keeping of days, of Sabbaths, those kinds of things. And apparently those who were keeping those, if it was the Jew who was the one who was keeping the dietary codes and keeping certain days of the week, apparently it was an issue where he was convinced that they weren't keeping those in the sense they thought somehow it was going to save them or somehow add to their salvation. Because certainly over in Colossians, he did deal with that issue there, didn't he? And in Galatians also. In Colossians, he said, let no one judge you as it comes to food or drink or days of the week, those kinds of things, and the keeping of those things. And so at different times, there were part of the Jewish community that did try and make out that salvation came through keeping ceremonial laws or keeping certain dietary issues or those kinds of things, and they would say it was an issue of salvation. Okay, we know it's not an issue of salvation, but apparently here it hadn't gone that far with the Romans. He wasn't concerned about that. And so he's saying, don't let these things that certain people are holding to or not holding to cause division. So as he starts out in verse 14, when we left off last week, he says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So let's stop there for a minute. We may pick up as we go on. Now, Paul deals with these issues over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 10 also. And so for more background on your own study, you could go look at those and kind of dig in a little deeper there too. But really saying the very same things in just a little bit different language, but he's giving the same teachings here. So in verse 14, what does he start? He says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, who made the issue that there was nothing unclean? He says, well, I know and convinced by the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus brings to us that understanding that there is nothing unclean. Now, what would that relate to? Unclean things. Okay, he's not talking about moral issues, okay? Because there are unclean moral issues, aren't there? There's things that we should not involve ourselves in that are absolutely immoral. So he's not talking about moral things. So when he's talking about unclean things here, it would be amoral things, and primarily he's dealing here with food issues and drink issues, okay? And so that would then relate to the Jewish-Gentile issue. The Jews would have been looking at certain things as being ceremonially unclean, right? Now, remember the teaching that Peter was given when the motion picture came down, okay? It wasn't a motion picture. Big sheet comes down, and he sees that what? The Lord is showing him that these things that he had not partaken in before, which were certain animal types and such for food, the Lord's showing him those are clean now, okay? And what was Peter's first response? May never be. I would never partake in anything unclean. What's the Lord tell him? The Lord says, hey, don't say that which I call clean, don't call it unclean, because now these things are clean. And what was the broader teaching? He's starting to show the Jew that the Gentile, who they saw as unclean and unfit for the kingdom of God, he's starting to show them that they were clean. Okay, God was doing a new work. It was a work that he prophesied, because we know that God had a place for the Gentiles, didn't he? Okay, and it had been prophesied that they would be a praise to the Lord. And so he was opening that door, and that's the whole work. And so, but what's going on here is, and this is quite a long time later in the church, isn't it here? We're up, you know, around 50, 60 AD, and there's still these issues going on. People wondering what's clean, what's unclean. Some of the Jews still holding things, but apparently, again, it wasn't an issue where they felt like it was something that had to do with their salvation, or Paul would have dealt with that, because then it would have become incorrect doctrine. If someone was teaching that by participating in certain dietary issues or keeping certain days was how and was part of how you were saved, then there'd be a problem with that, wouldn't there? Okay? Because how are we saved? What does Paul teach very clearly about our salvation? We're saved by faith in God's grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God, right? And so very clearly that's the understanding we have in Scripture. But so I would say that then that wasn't the issue that Paul was dealing with here. He's just saying, hey, there's some Jews who still feel the need to keep the Sabbath, and they also feel the need to keep some certain dietary codes. And so therefore, Let them do that. Don't make a big issue of it. Now, it could have also been a Gentile issue, because over in 1 Corinthians, it was a Gentile issue there with foods too. And what were the foods that were in question there about? I don't think that's probably necessarily what it is here in Romans. But over in 1 Corinthians, what were the foods that were an issue there? You may remember? Sacrifice to idols. Okay, so there were certain foods that were being sacrificed, and when they would do the pagan temple sacrifices, there were foods that would be, you know, big hunk of steak. They'd sacrifice that to the idols, and then it would get sold where? It gets sold in the meat market after it had been sacrificed. Whatever was left over gets sold in the meat market. So, I don't know, they maybe did a nice barbecue and then, you know, sacrifice that to idol, and then you go eat the barbecue later, get it from the meat market. And the issue was, hey, guess what? It's okay to eat that. Wouldn't be okay, though, for the person whose conscience wasn't clear about that, who might, by partaking of that, get themselves caught up in their old pagan religion, right? And so there was an issue there of not stumbling your brother. If you know your freedom and you know that in that meat there is nothing there, okay, it's just a piece of meat and it doesn't really have anything to do. There's no demon in that meat or anything like that. And by partaking of that meat, it's not a big issue. If you know that freedom, well, you can partake, but don't use that freedom there for that to cause a stumbling in your brother either. So here it's a similar issue, but it's probably more Jew-Gentile issue here than it was just Gentiles dealing with a meat issue there. So Paul says, I know and I'm convinced by the Lord that there is nothing unclean of itself. Okay? And so now when he's talking about nothing unclean of itself, it's as it relates to those things. Food, drink, that type of thing that he's dealing with here. There are things that are very unclean, aren't there? So we can't say, oh, blanket teaching, everything is okay. And what does Paul say in Corinthians? He says, all things are lawful, not all things are permissible, okay, or beneficial, all right? Not permissible, not all things are beneficial. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. What does that relate to there too? Same issue. It's in 1 Corinthians 8. It's dealing with foods and drinks and those kind of things. So we can't use that as a blanket statement to say, well, everything's okay for a Christian. And that's kind of the mentality that goes on sometimes out there today. Well, everything's lawful for a Christian. We can indulge in anything. Well, you know, you probably could, but that wasn't the teaching that he was giving there. Okay, and we know that Christians indulge in sin at times. And if you indulge in sin, does it cost you your salvation? No, it does not cost you your salvation. But again, it's not something that's okayed in the Bible by trying to use verses like that out of context. Say, well, everything's lawful, you know, and it's not real beneficial for me, but I can do it. He was talking specifically about the issues that related to the context, and that was food and drink. God has given us all things as it relates to food and drink to enjoy, right? We can sit down and we can eat those meals. We can eat those steaks that were sacrificed to idols. And we don't have to get all wound up about it. Unless, of course, me doing that would cause what? A brother or sister or another person, even a non-brother or sister, to stumble. And that's what he goes on to say. So there's nothing unclean itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Okay, so now, there's that one that knows his freedom and says, I understand, just as the Lord Jesus taught, there's nothing unclean. But the brother that doesn't have that full comprehension yet, and there are brothers that don't have that full comprehension, even in the church today, there are certain things that people don't have a full understanding of. And so that's the way it goes. So to that person, it would be unclean. If that Jewish brother says, you know what, there's certain things that I see as unclean, these aren't kosher foods, I'm not going to partake in those. Or if that brother says, you know what, these meats were sacrificed to idols, I'm not going to partake in that, then it's unclean to him. If he sees it as unclean, then it's still unclean to him. And if he's convinced of that, then we need to let it be right there. Okay? So we don't spend our time and all of our time trying to convince that person when they first come into the fellowship that they're dead wrong and get into disputes about it. Well, what do we do? Do we leave people just in that understanding forever? No, that's not the issue either. What we should do is be praying, and praying that the Word of God would richly dwell within people's hearts. You know, when you see Paul praying throughout the Scriptures, and oftentimes Paul will record a prayer, what are those prayers often about? That people's understanding would be enhanced, that their hearts would be enlightened, that the word of God would dwell richly within them. Why was that Paul's prayer? Because he knew that the word of God is what? Truth. And the truth does what?
Sets you free.
Okay? And so he understood that by praying that and by teaching the word of God and praying that people's hearts would be receptive to the word of God, that eventually people would know their freedom in Christ fully. Okay? And that's a great thing, isn't it? We should all come to that place where we know our freedom in Christ, and then also know that when we have those freedoms, not to abuse those freedoms to cause another brother to stumble. And that's what he goes on to say here. He says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Okay? So if you know your freedom, there's nothing unclean to you, and you can eat and enjoy, and you can drink and enjoy, that's great. Okay? And you know what? That is great when you understand that, you know, it's not an issue. Now, when I was first a Christian, okay, there were lots of issues. I was in different churches, and there were issues where there were certain things that you were left to believe were absolutely unclean, okay? That's when I was a younger Christian. So it's like, wow, you know, if those people are doing that, like, well, that's you know, but probably got to question whether they're even saved or not, you know. I can remember a lady who, you know, and I was kind of feeling this way myself. This lady, she was this really sweet lady, and she was used in ministry, but she had a terrible addiction to cigarettes, okay? And it was kind of mumbled about sometimes. Like, how can she be serving the Lord and be smoking? I don't know. It's the people that are going to be smoking afterwards we need to worry about. after the service is over. No, you know, and I was thought, you know, here we are. This lady was this wonderful saint. And you know what? She was working on trying to get this addiction out of her life. She knew it wasn't healthy for her, that it was destroying her body. But you know what? Does that mean she couldn't be used by the Lord, or somehow somebody should question whether she was saved or not, or whether she was useful for the Lord or not? No. I mean, that becomes a foolish issue. We start majoring in minor things. That's not a salvation issue. Now, maybe it was a problem for her, and it was a fleshly issue that she needed to deal with, and she was dealing with that. But you know what? God wasn't shelving her until that all got dealt with. So we need to be very careful about some of those things. So, but the issue is, if your brother is grieved because of your food, okay? So if you know you got this freedom, but it grieves your brother for you to be involved in eating a certain thing or drinking a certain thing, then there is a problem with it, right? Then you got a problem with it. If it's grieving your brother and it's causing your brother to stumble because you are using your freedom in that way, then really what's going on? If it's grieving your brother and you don't care, then you're destroying the faith of your brother, okay? You're not really thinking about the fact that Christ has died for this person, given his life for this person, drawn this person into the body of Christ. You're still being self-centered and not really concerned with that person's well-being and their spiritual well-being. What we should be really concerned about for each other is our spiritual well-being, one that are each person's spiritual well-being, and that all are growing up in Christ. We should be concerned about that more than anything else, okay? Desiring to see each person grow up into the fullness of Christ Jesus. Okay, so if something I would do would inhibit that growth, then shame on me, right? So if my desiring to, say, go over after service to the bar over here, I got my bar stool, but I'm not at the bar. If I decide to go over there after service, if they're open, and I go in, sit down, and start having a beer, if that would cause a stumbling amongst you guys, would that be wise for me to do? No. Why would I destroy the faith of someone just so, because I go, hey, I'm free to go have a beer? That would be using my freedom to serve myself rather than to serve one another in love. Now, could I be free to go after service and go over and have a beer?
Sure, yes.
Okay. That might be 50-50 there on what people just said. I like that. We'll just leave it at that. 50-50. We'll leave it right there. Only if I invite everybody to go and I buy, right? There you go. Okay. There. And then we're free. Then we're free to go do that. Okay, great. You know, a person could say, yeah, I've got that freedom to do that. But you know what? If it would, some people would go, well, yeah, you got that freedom. And some people are going, I don't know. You know what? Then I better defer to the I don't knows. Right? Because if I'm the teacher and I cause somebody to stumble, then shame on me. But you know what? Not just the teacher. If any of us would cause a brother to stumble, then shame on them. Okay? We need to be considering one another, how to build one another up in the most holy faith. If something is in question and it might tear someone down and it might cause a stumbling in their faith, then set that freedom aside. Okay? Don't use that liberty, at least in this place where it's going to cause someone to stumble. Okay? You might use that liberty in your own home or whatever where it's not going to cause a stumbling, but not where it's going to cause a stumbling. So if your brothers grieve because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. So you're not walking in love. You're not walking as that living sacrifice, not walking in what's good and acceptable to the Lord. There's no getting around it. There's no gray area. It's very clear. That's what's going on. So we need to say, okay. And yet, sometimes isn't it tempting to go, you know what? Who are they to judge my freedom? And I don't know why they get so hung up about it, and it's not that big an issue. Who are you serving then? Yourself. Okay? You're back to serving yourself again. And that's not who we're to be serving. We're to be serving one another in love. So we need to remember, hey, don't destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Consider that. Christ died for this one so this one might come into the faith, that this one might have everlasting life. And who am I to disrupt their faith and to stumble them? They belong to the Lord. And Christ laid his life down for them. Why would I not then lay my freedoms aside for them? That's what it means to live as a living sacrifice. Setting aside those freedoms and dying to myself in that situation. Saying, you know what? I just don't need to use that freedom that I know I have in Christ at this point. It says, therefore, verse 16, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Okay? So you're good. Now, somebody knows you as a mature Christian, okay? And you got this good testimony as a mature Christian and someone who knows the Word of God and who's ministering to people and active in the body of Christ, and all of a sudden you choose to use your freedom in a time when it's going to grieve someone, then what's going to happen? Your goods are going to start being evil spoken of. Your testimony's blown, okay? And isn't our testimony for the Lord and our praise of the Lord more important? Sure it is. It's far more important. So don't let your good be spoken evil of. Let your testimony be a good testimony. Okay? And that's what he's saying there. Let that testimony be that which glorifies God. He says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is far more than foods and drinks. Okay? And if we get fixated on my freedom for the foods and the drinks, and that's where I'm focused on, then I'm like pretty limited in my understanding of what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about what? He says it's about righteousness, peace, and joy. It's about that upright living in the Spirit, okay? It's about having peace one with another as far as we're able, and having that peace of God reign amongst us, and having the joy of the Spirit and the joy of our salvation exuding from our lives. You know, Paul said this. Remember when he said, be drunk not with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And doing what? Singing psalms and hymns and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Encouraging one another with psalms and hymns. And you see what he's saying there? He's saying, you know, you could have the freedom to go drink your wine, but don't get drunk with it and don't abuse it. And when you abuse it and you think that that's what's going to bring joy, you've missed the whole boat. What really brings joy is walking in the Spirit. Okay? Being filled with the Spirit of God, that's where it brings joy into your heart, and that's where you're going to have a testimony that brings joy into others' hearts. You know, you ever been around a happy drunk? There are happy drunks. There are sometimes unhappy drunks, okay? Mean drunks. You ever been around a happy drunk and they're just happy and they're spreading joy, okay? But the joy is what? It's not the joy of the Lord. It's temporal at best and it fades away. Okay, but the joy of the Lord lasts, doesn't it? When you really bring the joy of the Lord into a situation, it brings Jesus into the situation. And that lasts. Okay? That edifies. That encourages. All the other stuff is temporal. Okay? Doesn't profit, doesn't do anything that lasts. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Okay? So if we're focused on those things, then we're walking in that which is acceptable to God. There's no question. Okay? We're not outside of anything that God has for us. Now, could be questionable if it's about food and drink, couldn't it? Because we could be then using our freedom the wrong way at the wrong time. But when we're walking in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, we know that that's absolutely that which is right and acceptable. That's the perfect will of God. You're not going to miss with that. So why not walk in the things where we know we're not going to miss instead of the questionable things where we might miss? Don't make those minor things be the major issues, but make the major things the major issues. Walk in those and you're not going to miss at all. That's what he's saying. Very cool. So we can know that if I'm walking in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that's going to be that which is going to be acceptable to God and it's going to benefit men. Okay? It's going to be profitable to those that I'm around, and as he says, and is approved by men. In other words, men are going to see it. It's approved. It's that which is going to edify. It's that which is going to build up. Okay? So think on those things. Don't get fixated on, but wait a minute, I've got freedom to go do this. Wasting our time with that stuff. That really shows that you aren't the more mature brother, but you're the immature brother when you get caught up in those things. And sometimes that's one of the dangers of people knowing the word. Sometimes we know the word and we know what we're free in, but we don't know how to apply it. And there's where there comes problems. You know, I know a lot of young people today who've grown up in the church where they teach the word of God. And they know all their freedoms because of what the word says, and yet they're abusing those. So they're actually very immature in the faith. But because they've been in places where the word gets taught over and over and over, and the group that I've been involved with is guilty of that big time. Okay? Taught the word, and the word gets taught expositorily. So, you know, when you teach the word expositorily, people are going to hear these doctrines and they're going to go, oh, I get it, I get it, I get it, I get it. You can get it up here, but it's got to be gotten down here too. It has to be in the heart. It has to be applied. And, you know, we can learn it in the mind and not apply it and then still have major problems. Go, well, I'm free to do all these things. Well, and you're very immature, okay, and you're very self-centered, and you're very self-seeking. You're really not thinking of others more highly than yourself. And so I see that as a problem sometimes today in the church. Happening amongst the younger culture, it's happening a lot, okay? You know, there's this whole new movement. Hey, we're all free to drink. Okay, I go, sure we are. Okay, I see a prohibition against drunkenness, okay? That's clear. There's not a prohibition against having a drink. Okay, Paul's going to talk right here a minute about your wines. But what's happening is we're free to drink. And they're taking that to the point where, and we don't know our limitations. Okay, and pretty soon you got a drunkenness problem going on. I think I told you guys a few years back, a guy called me up and he was all distraught. He goes, I don't know what's going on in our church, but he goes, the pastor decided that we needed to like do an outreach to the community. I go, yeah. Well, that sounds good. He goes, and so what they decided, and the group of them got together, and they decided that we needed to do a Cinco de Mayo party. I was like, okay, so you're going to reach out to the Hispanic community in the neighborhood. That's cool, okay? I was like, so? And I'm, you know, just still trying to find out what the issue is. And he goes, and so they had piñatas, and they had a big feast, and they had margaritas. And I was like, okay. And he goes, and some of the young guys were like, wow, it was so amazing. I was like ministering to these people. And then pretty soon it was like, I don't really remember what I was ministering to them. And it's like, I had too many margaritas. You know, so all of a sudden it's a problem, right? So, you know, you got to know what those lines are, okay? And probably Cinco de Mayo party outreach with margaritas, probably not a good idea, okay? Probably going to stumble somebody before it's all over. All right? We're not going to have those here, okay? Okay. We'll just skip that this year. another outreach opportunity. Anyway, so careful, right? Being careful. Verse 18 says, "For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Okay, so those are the things that are going to make for peace. Those are the things that are going to edify. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Seek those things where you know that you're on solid, solid footing that's not going to stumble anybody. Now, if somebody is disgruntled about upright living and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, then they're disgruntled about some totally different thing. Okay, that's their problem at that point. They're in a place where they're in a defense with God, but not with you. Okay, so if we're walking in those things, we know that we're going to be walking in that which is going to be edifying, which is going to be good. So we're not going to miss on that. So let's seek those things that we're not going to miss on. Why get involved in the skeptical things? Why get involved in those things that are, maybe there's some gray area and that could cause a problem? He goes on, he says, "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food." How important that is. "All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense." Okay? So all things are indeed is pure. Okay? So if you like your bacon, don't go munching on it in your Jewish brother's ear. Okay? You know, I mean, that's what he's saying. Don't make an offense. And so if you're like, you know, kind of making an issue of, well, I'm free to eat pork. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. And, you know, I'm going to have my bacon. Okay, and it's a Jewish Gentile issue. If you're bringing offense, you're totally in the wrong. Okay, it's great to know your freedoms. Use your freedoms. Hey, but don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Okay, then you've gotten out of line. You've overstepped the boundary. That could go with the meat sacrifice to idol issue also. So don't push that. You know, it's like if you know that. By you eating that meat, say if you'd come out of a pagan temple and you knew you're free and that eating that meat was no big issue now, but it's still going to cause a stumbling to your brother, okay? And if he partakes of it, it might cause him to go back into idolatry or just cause his conscience not to be clear and question things. Don't set him up for failure, okay? That's the issue. Otherwise, you're destroying the work of God. Then it becomes an evil thing. He says, "It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." Okay, so we could set those freedoms aside, couldn't we? Okay, you could, if it's going to cause a brother to stumble, would you be willing to forsake those things? Okay, and that's a question we've got to ask ourselves, don't we? Would I forsake something I really like? Maybe, you know, you're like, yeah, man, I love pork chops, okay? Or I love a big rack of ribs, okay? And even today, what if you were in Israel, okay? And you're going out and you're eating with some brothers that are Jews, and you know, they're Christians now, but they're of Jewish background, and they still aren't in that place where they're totally free with that, you know? Probably wouldn't be a good idea to try and take them to Baldy's Barbecue and go eat baby back ribs, right? Might not be a good idea. You might stumble them in doing that. Why cause that offense? Not worth causing that kind of offense. You know that it's okay for you, okay? Go do that on your own, okay? Don't do it where it's going to cause an offense or any kind of stumbling. Set that aside. Be wise in that, okay? You know, that's something, you know, we get, well, of course the teacher, the pastor should be very wise in those things. Okay, and I should, okay? But we all should be wise in those things, shouldn't we? Okay? And thinking about what's going to go on. You know, maybe right here in Alturas, okay? You're like, well, you know that I could stop by the Niles after work and I could have a beer. And maybe that's, you know, that's your freedom. You go, I'm free to do that. I'm not a drunk. I know that I won't be a drunkard. I know I won't get drunk, okay? But then everybody in Alturas knows that you attend whatever our fellowship's called here. I don't actually know. What do we call this fellowship? It's Bullard Creek Christian Fellowship. Like, we've never named it here. I guess it's the same. And so people know that you're a Christian. They know you attend here and know you have fellowship here. And they would go, wait a minute, I didn't think Christians were supposed to drink. What would you do? What would you do about that? And I'm not even talking necessarily about a believer, but maybe unbelievers that would be there with you. What would you do? Drive on by. Okay? I mean, that's something we have to think about. Would I drive on by, or what would I do? And that's where those things come down to praying and being willing to ask the Lord and letting the Lord give you real discernment on that issue. Okay? And Paul's going to get to that in just a minute. What we do in faith and can really do in real faith is okay. But if we can't do it in real faith, then it's not okay. Okay? So we come to that issue. He goes, he says, it is good neither to eat nor drink wine nor do anything by which my brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So anything that might cause that, I should set aside. He says, do you have faith? Have it yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Okay, so let's go back to this issue. You're after work. Okay, everybody knows you're a Christian. The Niles is open. It's hot. You want to have a cold beer. Okay, do you have absolutely good conscience? And can you walk in total trust and faith in God and go have that beer and not worry about it? If you can, go ahead. That's what he's saying. If you can do it in faith and there's no conviction in your heart about it whatsoever, then okay. But what's that going to take on your part? It's going to take some serious prayer. It's going to take some serious talking to God. Because if there's any doubt in your mind at all, okay, any doubt in your mind at all, and you do it, read the next verse. It's sin to you. Okay? And it can be sin to those you've caused to stumble. Okay? You've caused them. You might cause them to sin also. So we've got to say, okay, wow, am I willing to set that freedom aside? Now, that may not be something that some of you even feel free to do. That's fine too. Okay? So you may say, yeah, I understand I'd be free to do that. I'm not a drunkard. I could do that, but it wouldn't be necessarily the wisest thing in that situation. We could use another example. There's all kinds of examples that we could use, and that's where we have to come down to that place going, okay, what does God really, and what's the conviction of my own heart? Has anybody ever had those things where you're thinking, you're in a situation, and you're thinking, I know I'm free to do this, and you're kind of going, but I don't know, would this cause anybody, you know, who's here, do the people know me, do they know what I'm about? All those kinds of things, all that's going through your head, should I do this? And then you're having that kind of thought go on, and then you go ahead and do it anyway. Then it's sin to you. Okay, I've done that before. Okay? Been in situations like that. And you're like, and I knew, oh, I shouldn't really probably go forward with this. And we're not talking about a big immoral issue. We're just talking about one of those areas where there's a freedom that you can do. But you're thinking this could cause someone to stumble. As soon as you think that, you aren't doing it in full confidence and faith. You aren't. Okay? So that's a good guide for you. Anytime there's a little doubt, don't do it. Okay? I can remember a pastor I had one time, and he would ask, you know, people would come up and ask him, well, are we free to do this? He goes, well, you're asking me. Nope, you're not. And they'd look at him like, what? He goes, well, if you have to ask me, you're obviously doubting. There you go. They were doubting at that point. They didn't have that freedom. And I thought, that's a great answer. If you're questioning it and you're trying to figure it out, then probably for you at that point, it's not something you should do, and you're probably not free to do that at that point because you can't do it in full faith and confidence. You don't have that total freedom, right?
So yeah, this yeah. means that I no longer...
I don't know, Jan.
Because I feel funny, and I haven't done it in a long time, but I have gone to the store and bought beer for making beer bread. But on my way out, anybody I run into, I said, I'm going to make beer bread.
I'm making beer bread.
Yes.
One can for the bread, and then she drinks
the rest. Drinks the rest. I figured, yeah. That's a good old time making bread. Yeah, where it's all over. Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, again, those are issues you got to pray about, okay? Because here's the other side of it. Let me just throw this out. Sometimes we can also impose things on ourselves that are not logical either, okay? Because of things like, you know, we can have an undue conviction. It's like, I'm going to make bread with this. And, you know, but if you're concerned, why not just say, hey, okay, you know, you run into me right there. That's always comfortable. You're walking out of the store with a pint of whiskey, you know, and there's the pastor. You're like, oh, okay, how do I explain this one? Okay. Medicinal. Just always go medicinal, and it's cool. It's straight, right? It's for the fruitcake. Yeah, yeah. The one at home. you know, I mean, what's wrong with saying, you know, so you like beer bread? I love beer bread. Okay, my grandmother used to make beer bread. I like beer pancakes too. Okay, we make those sometimes. So the issue is, you go, okay, hey, you run into me. Ah, man, I feel uncomfortable at this point. Be honest. Go, I feel uncomfortable. You know, this makes me feel weird. And, you know, then you can walk through those things. We've got to be careful we don't impose legalistic standards either, where it becomes, you know, just like we're bound by everything too. But it's a consideration that a person, part of the consideration would be, if you ran into someone and you were uncomfortable, is talking with them about it. Okay, and that would be part of the consideration
but
there too.
I would be uncomfortable with probably anybody here, because we all know each other pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we know you make beer bread.
Yeah, so now we're really wondering. No. No.
Spend all that money in melodies.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you make beer bread? No. Shoot, you could get out of it by just buying it from her. Then she'd have to go buy the beer for it. There you go. You know. So, I mean, all those issues are things, again, don't want to get overly legalistic, but really considering what would maybe stumble my brother. That's the real issue. And thinking about those things and being sure we can do those things in faith, okay? And if you can, you know, maybe there is a conviction. Just go, I don't know, maybe it's not a good idea for me to go to Holiday or to Four Seasons or whatever that is and buy my beer there from my beer bread. Maybe nobody knows me in Lakeview and I'll feel more comfortable buying it. Maybe you can go to Safeway in Lakeview and all good conscience and buy it. I buy all my alcohol at Rite Aid because nobody knows me down here. No. No, I'm kidding. You know, the issue is being wise in it. It might be a wise conviction here because you're wondering, wow, maybe it would stumble a younger brother or sister, maybe somebody that I know in another fellowship, because it's not just our fellowship either, is it? You know, we know some of the Mennonite brethren. Okay, we've gotten involved with them. Would that stumble some of them, Melody? It might. Okay, could, right? Maybe. Yeah, if you would, yeah, I would, right? But if you started feeling like, man, beer bread would be a good seller, and you needed to sell that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, maybe you'd have to do it elsewhere, right? So, you know, you could be free to go do that elsewhere, but you might be wise here because it could totally cause a stumbling. And why would we destroy the faith of our brothers, right? That's the whole issue. That's the real important part of what he's talking about. So if there's doubts, you know, then he who eats condemns himself. So there's self-condemnation there because there's doubt. So you're condemning yourself in those things. So, and that can go the other side too. If that one who doesn't have full understanding that he has freedom, if he goes ahead and eats, then he might bring condemnation on himself too in that sense, where there's that undue conviction of going, wow, I'm caught in between here now and I'm confused. And, you know, what might be the situation with that weaker brother who then does partake in something that he doesn't have full faith to partake in, could it be something then that leads him backwards? Could. That's the other area we've got to be very careful in. For that person who, say, was, maybe somebody had an alcohol problem, okay? And then they come to faith in Christ, they realize they've been set free from their sin. The consciousness of that has been removed because the consciousness of that sin is let go because of our freedom in Christ. And yet then they're still not sure about for themselves that alcohol issue, but they've been around other Christians who don't seem to have an abuse problem with it, can have a glass of wine with dinner and it's not a big issue, and then they do that. But they're not fully convinced, and all of a sudden they do it again and again, and pretty soon they're sitting at their dinner table drunk again. Then you got a problem, don't you? Because then they're off into something that isn't okay with the Lord. So we've got to be wise in all those things. So the bottom line issue for all of this is what? thinking of others more highly than ourselves, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, being in that place where we're willing to live sacrificially for those that Christ died for. That's the best policy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That we know is acceptable before God and is approved by men. Nobody can cause and find an offense in that, can they? So seek those higher things, and you're not going to lose. Set aside your freedoms. You know, your freedoms aren't that important. This is a temporal life at best. And, you know, those momentary indulgences into those freedoms, if it's costing somebody else their faith and shipwrecking somebody, not worth doing it. Not worth doing it. That's the whole point. So we'll end there today because we're already like way into this thing, and I won't get into what we're, there's, you know, he continues it in chapter 15. We'll just pick up there next week and do that. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word and the truth of your word, Lord. Lord, we know that the issue is that we are free. We are at liberty in you, but we're not to use our freedoms to serve ourselves, but to serve one another in love. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd always keep that as the highest priority, that that would be before us continually, and that we'd walk in love by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, one towards another. Lord, that our desire would be the building up of the body of Christ, not the tearing down, Lord. And so use us that way, Lord, and cause us to be wise and how we do things on a daily basis, Lord, that we'd be those people who would be concerned with that which is acceptable to you, which is not a gray area, but it's just clearly clear, Lord, that we'd walk in those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That was a good amen back there. I love it. Good deal. Let's partake in the Lord's Supper together, if we can do that after that teaching. Josh, could I grab you? And John, could you guys pass that out for us? As we get ready to partake in the Lord's Supper, we do need to remember that we are called to discern the Lord's body when we partake of the Lord's table. And part of discerning the Lord's body is obviously understanding that Christ gave his body for our sin, but part of understanding his body is also understanding that that work that he did on the cross has truly made us one in him. And so when we're partaking of the cup and the bread, we're declaring our unity with Christ and with one another. And so then if there's issues of division, or there's issues of strife, or there's issues of stumblings, those kind of things, then we're really not discerning that unity of the body of Christ. That was the problem with the Corinthians, wasn't it? Okay, they're partaking in the cup and the bread, and yet they got divisions and fights and things going on amongst them. And so they weren't really comprehending their unity in Christ and their oneness. And so there was a problem. Okay, and because of that, what do we know was going on? Well, there was weakness amongst them. There was sickness amongst them. Some were asleep, it said. Okay, and so it's a serious issue. We need to really think about that and comprehend. Wow, we need to really be in that place where our heart's right before the Lord, and we're right with one another when we partake. If we're not, okay, then don't partake until you get that thing taken care of, whatever that might be. So that's an important thing. So let's take a minute and just go before the Lord and just seek his heart to have him show you if there's anything that maybe needs to be confessed, that needs to be cleansed of. Maybe there is something you thought, wow, I did something that I know stumbled a brother. Okay, and the Lord's made you aware of that right now. Take that before the Lord, confess that, and then I'd encourage you to go get that right with the person. Okay, I this morning, as we went through this teaching, I thought of an issue where I was questioning whether I stumbled a brother or not. And I thought, wow, I need to get a hold of that guy. I don't know his phone number. I'm going to have to drive clear out in the desert and find him. But, you know, so possibly could have stumbled a brother through an action. And I thought about that and thought, I need to get that right, okay, if I have that opportunity. So anyway, just take a minute for the Lord, and then we'll partake together. Father, we do thank you that there is the ability for us to come to you, Lord, and confess our sins, Lord, and you promise that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, if there's anything that any of us have been involved in this week that we've not confessed, Lord, I pray that we do that now and that there would be that cleansing, that we might be in that place where we are really in communion with you and therefore with one another, Lord, where there's really that fellowship of the saints, Lord, that's going on. And so, Father, we just thank you that we can have that cleansing, and we thank you that you do work with us patiently and kindly and gently, Lord. And, Lord, I do thank you that your desire is to bring us to the full stature of the man Christ Jesus, to that maturity that's in you, Lord. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you are working that in us continually. So, Lord, we thank you for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. We thank you that in that act, in that work, you paid the penalty for sin and have made available eternal life. And so, Lord, we thank you for that gift that you've given. It's received by faith. And rejoice in that and give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.